Amen. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that. Let us take God's word this morning and go to 2 Samuel chapter number 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12, and in just a moment, we will begin in verse number 13, and we will read down to verse number 16, and then we'll turn back to Psalm chapter number 51. I have chosen to take some Sundays, and we have been somewhat on a divine detour. And we have stayed right in 2 Samuel chapter 12 because there is so much for us to learn. David has sinned against God. In fact, David has lived a long time in his sin. And may I tell you something? What was David's life like when he lived in unconfessed sin? May I say to you that David, in many ways, lived a lie. David lived outwardly as if everything was in order, but inwardly, everything was out of order. You see, that's why David prayed in Psalm 51 that I'm going to preach to you on today. He said, God, you desire truth in the inward parts. And this morning, I want to speak to you on this subject, truth in the inward parts. I'm thankful the young people got back safe and sound from camp. Well, I guess we can say safe, but their clothes are not sound. I can promise you that. And we had a junior week, and they went to Bill Rice Ranch in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And then our teens went to Hoosier Hills Baptist Camp. And my wife and I and our son, we drove up there on Tuesday night to just check on them and see them. And we enjoyed that time. It was about 105 degrees in the open-air tabernacle where we sat for the service. And but I know this. My kids came home, of course, your kids on teens on Friday. And we got their clothes in the car, and I had to call EPA because, you know, it was there was a cloud following our vehicle all the way home. And how many parents with teens know this is, I'm speaking the truth. How many would know this? Yes. And I'm like, son, how in the world does things smell this bad, you know? And you know what's funny is, they're all those guys together, they don't think it smells bad. It smells normal to them, you know? And y'all know what I'm talking about there. So, but this morning, as we think about this subject, I pray that God would use this in our heart. God wants truth in the inward part. I've been so convicted in my life over the years as a Christian that there have been many times when my public world is very orderly, but my private world is falling apart. It is easy to order the outward man and to keep him or her right in line, and everyone thinks everything is good when the inward man is starving to death. The inward man is not where he needs to be. Can you imagine the life of David as a king? He had his kingly vest on, no doubt, his kingly robe. And David looked like a king and he acted like a king. And David had kingly duties that he had to do. But while David was doing his kingly duties and his kingly routine in life, inwardly, David was not at all where he should have been. His fellowship with God was broken. Now, outwardly, I'm sure that David could put a smile on his face. Now, think of it. David has taken another man's wife. He has committed adultery with her. And to hide this sin, because now Bathsheba is expecting their child, David tries to manipulate things. He tries to scheme people. He tries to get Bathsheba's husband drunk. He tries to get him home. He's got to cover his sin. And you know the story. Nothing can David can do to cover the sin. So David has Uriah put to death. David murders a man. And now everything seems to be orderly, does it not? David marries Bathsheba. They're going to have a baby. And everything seems to be okay. But the Bible says, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. David lived for months with this unconfessed sin. David lived for months with the agony of his soul, knowing that he was not right with God. And that brings us to 2 Samuel chapter number 12, and look in verse number 13. The Bible says, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die." Now we know the story. David would have never said that except God sent a preacher. And the preacher told a story, and David got mad in the story when really the story was about David and David's sin. And Nathan pointed his finger at David and said, "Thou art the man. David, this is you. David, you're the one who has stolen. You're the evil man in this story. David, thou art the man." The conviction of God, no doubt, struck David's heart. And David said, "I have sinned against the Lord." And we read on what the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 12, now in verse number 14. The Bible says this, "Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. Would you go to Psalm chapter 51? It is so amazing to me that God has recorded for us the prayer that David prayed that night. David is convicted. The preacher has come in, said, "David, you're the man. You have sinned against God. You have given the enemies of the Lord an opportunity to blaspheme against God. You have done all of these things." And the Bible says that David went in and he besought God. What did David pray? Well, David's prayer was a prayer of confession to God. It was a prayer of getting back to God. How does a man like David get back into fellowship with God? No, David did not lose his salvation. He did not lose his relationship with God, but he did break fellowship with God. I have children here this morning. I thank God for each of them. You know something? My children will always be my children. There is nothing that they could ever do or ever say that would change that they are my children. They could change their name one day. I'm praying my daughter doesn't change her name. But anyway, they could do all kinds of things. My boys could say, "I don't want to be a Samples anymore, and you're not my dad." But the truth of the matter is, I'm their dad no matter what, because I'm their dad because of birth. And brethren, no matter what we do as children of God, we are still children of our Heavenly Father, because we have been born again into God's family. There is a new birth that has taken place, but David is out of fellowship with God. And may I tell you something? The most miserable person in this world is a Christian who is out of fellowship with God. He is miserable, or she is miserable. They have no rest in their soul, and God has designed our lives to be that way. By the way, do you know that now that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not like to get dirty? I'm talking about sin dirty. You take an old pig, you know, and maybe some of you have ever had pigs around your house. I'm going to tell you something about a pig. You screen it, you shine it up and clean it up, and you do all kinds of things to it. But I can promise you this, that pig is going to find mud again. And the problem is, he likes the mud. He wants to be in the mud. But the child of God who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, there is something within their heart. It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that causes us to detest sin. Now, we are sinners, and we are sinners by being born into this world. We are sinners simply by that. But we are sinners by choice, and we are sinners by conduct. But may I tell you something? Once I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, I don't want to sin anymore. And when I sin, I grieve God, the Holy Spirit, who indwells me. I cannot be happy in my unconfessed sin. And God has designed the Christian life to be that way. May I tell you? If you can sin and you enjoy your sin and you can live in unconfessed sin, then the Bible says that you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not a part of the family of God. Because there was something within the heart of David. He was miserable. He talks about it in Psalm 51. Let's notice some things here. Psalm chapter 51, let's begin in verse number 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Do you hear David? David wants to be clean. Verse number 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Do you notice what David is doing? David is not sugarcoating his sin. David is saying, look what it says in verse 2, wash me thoroughly. He is saying, God, I just don't want the outside to be clean. I want the inside to be clean. And notice David calls it sin. He calls it rebellion against God, transgression. He has missed the mark. David is naming his sin as God sees it. And brother, may I tell you something? Until we get serious about calling our sin by God's name and what God calls it, we will never have cleansing from the Lord. We read on here. David said in verse 4, against thee, the only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. David is not saying that the birth of him was sin, but David was born with a sin nature. Do you know that every one of us here today, you were born with a sin nature? You know, I know this, my children, we have tried to teach them the right things and we've tried to model it in our lives and in our home, but we've tried to instruct our children by the Word of God and all that, but my children have a sin nature. Can I tell you where they got it from? Me. They got it from me and my wife. Because we got it from our parents and my parents got it from their parents. Why? Because it goes all the way back to our first parents, Adam and Eve, who sinned in the Garden of Eden. And David is saying, God, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. We read on. Notice what David says to us here in verse number 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now go back to verse number 6, and I want you to notice what David says. He says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Brethren, this morning, God wants truth in your inward part and in my inward part. Number one, I want you to notice some things today. Truth in the inward parts causes us to consider our inward man. Now I want you to remember that. Do you know that the person that you see here today standing before you, he might have a broken nose, but he's still your pastor, all right? But the person that you see here today, you can only see the outward man. Now, it is very, expected for me to look like a pastor. I am to act like a pastor, but even more than that, I am to look like a Christian and act like a Christian and speak like a Christian and be around other Christian people because I am a child of God. But all that you can see is the outward man, but there is an inward man that you cannot see. But I know the inward man within me. The inward man, I know when my inward man is not in tune and in fellowship with God. I know when my inward man is not at all what it needs to be. And there is a disharmony when the outward man does not reflect what is within the heart in the inward man. Take your Bibles and I want to show you some things here today. Let's go, if you would please, to Matthew and let's go to chapter number 23. Matthew chapter number 23, and I want to show you something very important. Brethren, the most important thing about your life this morning is the inward man or the inward woman. You know that you can fool people on the outside, but you can't fool them very long. Because what is inside is going to come outwardly eventually. What is within my heart is going to come forth. In fact, the Bible tells us, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Do you know what's in your heart? In my heart comes out. Eventually comes out. And the truth of the matter is today, God is concerned with every part of our life, but sometimes we give more concern and more attention to the outward man than we do to the inward man. And I've got a big secret for you. It's kind of an open secret. If you and I will take care of the inward man, the outward man will take care of itself. You know something? When my heart is right with God, I will speak right. When my heart is in tune and in fellowship with God, I will go to the right places. I will be in the right area in my life. Why? Because the inward man is right. You know, parents, we must be careful that when we teach and train our children, that we're not just getting some outward conformity from our children. Because they can outwardly conform and inwardly rebel at the same time. They can outwardly conform and say within their heart, well, one day when I get out of here, I'm going to do what I want to do. The inward man is affected. That is why we must give great attention today to the inward man within our hearts, the person that only God can see. That's why David prayed, God, he said, behold. And by the word, that word behold in Psalm 51:6 means to consider. It means to stop. It means to ponder. And this morning, I'm calling upon myself and I'm calling upon Grace Baptist Church and everyone here today for us to consider the inward man, and let's take account of the inward man. How is your inward man? How is my inward man? Are we in tune and in fellowship with God, or have we glossed over sins in our life? David knew what it was to be at odds in the inward man. David knew that outwardly everything was in position. He was the king and everyone looked to him and everything seemed to be perfect and right. But inwardly David was dying because of sin that he had allowed into his life. The Lord Jesus had something to say about this. We come to Matthew chapter number 23, and I want you to look in verse number 25. Jesus is preaching, and by the way, if you think any Baptist preacher preaches hard, listen to Jesus preaching sometime. He has amazing power in his words. Matthew 23, and notice what the Bible says in verse number 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Do you know that Jesus, he had a lot to say about the Pharisees? And we know the Pharisees. Can I say something? Do you see the Pharisee within you? Well, I see the Pharisee within my heart, because we all got a little Pharisee within us. We all are very concerned about the outward image and what people think of us. And we are very concerned that people think well of us and think highly of us. But may I ask you this morning, what does God know about the inward man within us? Jesus said, you want to make the outside clean and you want people to think you're righteous and people to think that you're really spiritual people and you enjoy making people think that. Jesus said, you're like an old grave. You painted it nice. With within, it's dead men's bones. And within, it's ugly and it's sinful and it's godless. And may I tell you today, God is concerned more than anything else in our life about truth in the inward part. That means that before God, there is nothing between my soul and the Savior. That means that I know that I'm not covering up and hiding sin. And by the way, brethren, can I just be honest with you? All of us have secret sins in our life. Every one of us. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm really trying to be right with God. I understand that. But you know what? Some of us have sins that we are not even aware of. They're not secret to God. Why did David say, God, cleanse me from secret sins? He was not saying, God, I know you don't know about it, because God did know about it. He was saying, God, cleanse me from things that I don't even know about my life. Men, has your wife ever pointed out something that you didn't realize? Boy, it's hard to deal with that at times. And we didn't even realize it. I didn't even realize it. Honey, I'm sorry. I didn't realize what I was saying. I didn't realize the way I was acting. You see, that was a secret sin. It was secret to me. That is why we must come into the presence of a holy God who sees beyond what no man can see, who deals with us where only God can deal with us. And He convicts us about things in our life that need to change. That's why David said, God, behold, consider, thou desirest truth in the inward part. And can I tell you something this morning? And I mean this with all my heart, that I desire to be the kind of pastor that I need to be to you. And I do love you, and I bear you as a burden, and I pray for you. But more than anything else, I want to be a good Christian in my heart before God. I want there to be truth in the inward part. I want to know that I'm right with the Lord. I want there to be harmony with the outside and the inside. But we must consider the inward man. Take your Bibles. Let's go to 3 John. It's almost at the very end of God's Word. And I want to show you something here. Now, we know that David was about 50 years of age when David sinned against God in his sin with Bathsheba. And yet, David was not what he appeared to be. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I think every one of us could raise our hand. There have been times in life when we have come to church, we have sat and sang songs that we really didn't mean in our heart because we were out of fellowship with God. We listened to Bible messages that didn't move us because we were out of fellowship with God. We went through the emotions. And can I tell you, that is where David is at. That's why David said, God, I know that you want truth, because there has not been truth in the inward part of me. There has been lies, and there has been deceit, and there has been guile within my heart. But God, I know that you desire truth in the inward part. Folks, today, the most important person of you is the inner man, or the inward man is what the Bible calls it. 3 John, and look in verse number 2. I want to show you something that I think is very wonderful. In fact, let's just begin in verse number 1. The Bible says in 3 John, verse 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Notice that, truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, I want you to listen to me very closely. I have, you know, for the last couple of weeks, I've dealt with this broken nose issue and all of that. And I tell you, it's been hard for me. I like to stay busy. I like to go. And it's been hard to sit down and wait, you know. I was hoping the doctor could do surgery and the next day I'd be healed and everything would be fine. You know, that'd be kind of nice if it worked that way. I told somebody I had to stop taking one day at a time and looking at progress. I had to take it a week after a time. All right, better than I was last week. But, you know, it's hard. But I've had many people say to me over the course of being here that if you don't have your health, you really don't have anything, because your health is so important, is it not? In fact, so often we don't miss our health until we no longer have our health. We take it for granted, do we not? Because we don't even know. We don't even realize until we have it. Can I ask you something? In this passage here, John is writing, and he's writing to his well-beloved Gaius, And he is saying, Gaius, your inward man is so prosperous. I am praying that God would give you outward health in direct proportion to your inward health. He says, even as thy soul prospers. But let's flip it around just a little bit. What if God gave you and me physical health in direct proportion to our inward health? Some of us would have to be carried off to the hospital in the middle of the service, you know? Some of us would have to call 911 immediately, because if we had health outwardly as we were inwardly, we'd be in trouble. And here John is saying, Gaius, I know you're not healthy physically, but your soul is healthy. Your inward man is healthy. You walk with God. You love God. You serve Him. And I'm praying that God would give you outward health just like you have inward health. Can I ask you something this morning? How important is your inward man? You see, the Bible deals with our inward man. Can I tell you something about coming to the house of God? Do you know what? Here, I'm not here necessarily to fix the outside. That will take care of itself. But I'm here, in a sense, as a doctor, as a surgeon, that I preach the Word of God. And as Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And then what does it say? It says, dividing asunder of soul and marrow and joints and marrow. And it gets right into the very intent of our heart. God's Word digs deep where no other thing can dig. God's Word divides. God's Word pierces. You know, you've had surgery, and I've had surgery recently. And my nose was broken, it was sitting off to the side of my face. It did not look very good at all. And I thought, which was kind of crazy, I thought the doctor could just break it back in the other way, you know, and maybe that would fix it. And I said that to him. I said, can't you just break it back over? And he said, no. He said, this is not the Wild West anymore. That's what he said to me. And he said, we have things called surgery now, you know. Made me feel really smart, you know. And he said, we have to make incisions within your nose and go up and straighten everything and make it to where you can breathe again and make it to where everything will work properly. You know, the truth is, that day when I went to that surgeon, I needed inward help. I needed deep help that you can't even see. Now, you can see the outward effects of it now, but I needed someone to go within me. And can I tell you something? What you and I need and what I need? We need someone to deal with our inward man. We need someone to address the inward man within us, because it gets hurt and it gets defeated and it gets dirty. And we need God's Word, which is the only tool to cleanse the inward man. Brethren, may I tell you, if you want truth in the inward parts, it causes us to consider our inward man. David, think of this. Think of it just for a moment. In the midst of all that David was doing, he was functioning properly outwardly, but inwardly, he was nowhere where he needed to be. I heard about a pastor, and this was months ago, a pastor that was in Tennessee and pastored a great church. And one Sunday he got up and announced his resignation, and he said this. He said, I am broken and I'm hurting and I've got to quit. Can I tell you something? Outwardly, the church was shocked, because they thought, man, this guy's successful. The Lord is blessing him. The messages are a help. But there was something going on within that man that no one else knew about. There was something inwardly that only God could fix and only God could address. And may I tell you something? The only way that you and I can deal with the inward man is in the presence of a holy God, on our knees in prayer, and with the Word of God as the tool, the instrument, the surgical knife of the Holy Spirit that cleanses us and deals with our bitterness and deals with our unforgiveness and deals with our malice and our guile and deals with all those sins of the Spirit. Those affect the inward man. David has been living a lie. I mean, David's life is nothing but a lie. He has concealed and covered up everything. And David has got to deal with the inward man. Can I ask you something today? Are you a free man? Or a free woman inside? Are you a free man or woman in the inward part, or is there a struggle? Is there agony that's going on? You know, David later on talks about that. He said, God, you've broken my bones. We'll get to that message. But you know what, David? David was not talking about bones within his body. He was talking about the bones. You know that within your ears, there are tiny, microscopic little bones that if they're broken, you cannot hear. And you know what, David, under the inspiration of God, was saying, God, I can't hear you anymore. You've broken my bones. Can I ask you something? Where do we hear God? We hear God in the inward man. God speaks to us in the inward man. He deals with us in the inward man. That's when you're in church and the pastor is preaching or the lesson is given and God begins to speak to your heart. Where does that happen? In the inward man. That's the most important part of your life. And it's the most important part of my life. You see, you can't fix my inward man and I can't fix yours. But God, through His presence, and the Spirit of God wants to deal with our inward man. David's living a lie, and there's no peace. There's no joy in David's heart. But I've got news for you this morning. There is such a peace and a freedom and a liberty when we are cleansed and we are right with God. When the inward man is in harmony with the truth of God's Word, there is something so Christ-like about your life that it is indescribable. These teens came back from camp, and my wife and I worked with teens for 12 years. We used to do our own summer camp. We'd rent out our own facility, and we had enough teens at the time where we could run our own summer camp. And I've seen teens come to camp Monday and Tuesday. Boy, they're just rebellious, bad spirit, bad attitude. Don't want anything to do with the godly adults or anything like that. But by the time Wednesday and Thursday comes, God begins to take the hammer of His Word and begins to break the hard, cold heart. And then tears begin to flow and they confess their sin to God and they get right with the Lord. And guess what? Joy comes back to their life. Happiness comes back to their life. There is a freedom. There is a release because they are right with God. Then they want to be with mom and dad. Then they want to be with the pastor and youth pastor. Why? Because the inward man is right. You know what? Most problems in marriage is nothing but the inward man and the inward woman is not right. Most problems in a family is when kids' inward man or inward boy or inward girl is not right. That is what we must give attention to. That is what we must let God work in our hearts. You see, the truth of the inward part causes us to consider the inward man. Number two, the last thing this morning. Truth in the inward parts is brought about by conviction from the Lord. Go in your Bibles, if you would please, to Romans chapter number 7. I want to show you something I think is wonderful. And listen, brethren, it is so important. Is it possible for a Sunday school teacher to teach a class and for others to receive a blessing and for them inwardly not to be right with God? Yes. Is it possible for someone to sing a song and for others to be blessed by the song and for them inwardly not to be in harmony with God? Yes. Look here, God will always honor His Word, no matter who gives His Word. But I want you to know something. I want the truth of God to be in harmony with the inward man. I want it to be in such fellowship. And can I tell you something? Can I just be real honest with you? You know what this takes? Time. But most of us, including myself, we just don't want to give the time. You know, when you undergo surgery, it takes time, does it not? Time for the surgery, time for the recovery, and time for all kinds of things. It just takes time. And honestly, that's not what I have a lot of, and that's not what I want to do. But can I tell you something? It goes over into the spiritual side. Brethren, if you're going to be the inward man or the inward woman that God has desired for you to be, and if there's going to be truth in the inward parts, it's going to take time. Time alone with God. Time in His Word. Time saying, God, search me. Why do you think David said, search me, O God? He said, God, deal with me. Search me, Lord. Show me. Show me the sin in my life. Sometimes we don't even see it. And sometimes we don't even want to see it. Oh, may God help us You see, God desires truth in the inward man. That causes us to consider the inward man. But number two, it is brought about by conviction from the Lord. Do you know that I believe that we should pray for God to convict us? When's the last time, before I came up here to preach, that you prayed and you said, God, I pray that you will convict me in the message this morning? Do you know that I don't study all week and go to your houses and find out all the things you've done wrong and then preach on it on Sunday, all right? That's not how it works. I had a man years ago, and he was very kind. He was jokingly, he was saying, Pastor, did you talk to my wife this week? Did you? And he was joking because God had worked in his heart. And I said, Brother, no, I did not. He said, Well, how? Did you know? I said, I didn't know, but the Holy Spirit did know. And you see, I pray that as a pastor, I can be in tune and in fellowship with God in such a way as to where I can know the mind of the Lord about preaching the truth of God's word. What is that? Conviction from God. Thank God for conviction. I've always told people this. You know what? We ought to go to the altar for two reasons. When God speaks to your heart and when God doesn't speak to your heart. Because it worries me if God doesn't speak to my heart. It bothers me if I can hear a message, if I can hear a song, and God does not deal with me, something is wrong. That's why we ought to say, God, convict me today. God, convict my children. God, do the conviction in their hearts. God, do the conviction in my heart. Lord, sift through all the outwardness and deal with me inwardly. That's why Romans 7 says this. Let's look at this. Romans 7, and let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 20. Romans 7, verse number 20. Notice what the Bible says here. The Bible says, Now I do that I would not. How many would like to testify right there? We all do what we should not do at times. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. We understand that. Verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. But look what he says in verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who? You ought to underline that word who, because it's not what, it's who, and that is Jesus Christ. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Do you know what Paul is talking about? The classic struggle of his flesh versus his spirit. It's the inward man versus, in many ways, I guess we could say the outward man. Here, Paul is saying, I've got the inward man, the inner man within me that's weak. And I've got to build up the inward man. Notice what he said. He says that the law of God, notice what it says here. It says, for I delight in the law of God after the inner inward man. Brethren, I've got news for you today. It is only through the pages of God's word that the inward man can be cleansed and there can be confession made and we can be in fellowship with God. That's why John 17, verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If we want to have truth in the inward part, as David said, God, you desire truth in the inward parts, then it has to come from the conviction of God. And do you know how God convicts us? Through His Word. Hearing His Word. Reading His Word. Studying His Word. Has it been for you that you have been alone with God at times and God has dealt with you and He has cut you with His Word? You know, the doctor had to cut me. And I'm going to tell you something, it hurt. And you know, when the doctor, he told me, he said, I got news for you. I'm going to give you pain medication, but it's going to hurt really bad. When he said it was going to hurt really bad, I knew it was going to hurt really bad, you know. I was hoping he'd say, oh, it won't be too bad. But But you know, the doctor hurt me, but he did the best thing I needed. He helped me. And I'm going to tell you something. When you come to the house of God and when you get alone with God, you know what God wants to do? He's going to hurt you, but it's going to be the best thing for you in your life. Because your inward man is what really is all about you. We should understand the chief importance of your life and in my life is the inward man. And when the inward man is wrong, and by the way, there's lots of characteristics, there's lots of signs that the inward man is not in tune with God. Most of the time it's with our words. Words of cynical words. Words of doubt. Words of disbelief. Angry words. It's a sign. It's an outward sign of an inward problem. It's an outward sign that something is going on inward. Brethren, may I tell you something? I want the inward man within my heart to be in tune and in fellowship with God. Because look here. If I am right with the Lord, then I'm going to be right with my wife. I'm going to be right with my children. I'm going to be right with other people. I'm going to treat other people right. But when the inward man is not in fellowship with God, then I'm going to tell you something. You can forget it. You might be able to hide it for some time. You might be able to conceal it for a little bit of time. You might be able to put the robe of the kingship on and look like everything is good. But within in your heart, there is a war that is raging. And what do you need? What do I need? Conviction from God. You know where David got it? When a leather-lunged preacher stepped into his royal palace and said, David, thou art the man. It was a knife. A knife that hit David's soul. And God said, David, it's you. You have lied. You have stolen. You have lived a concealed life. You have ordered everything publicly right, but privately it is wrong. And David got things right with God. God desires truth in the inward man. Can you imagine what it would be for a person to go days or weeks without washing themselves, without bathing? Just ask the teen boys at camp, all right? Just ask them. As far as personal hygiene goes, it would be an unbelievable smell and you would not want to be around them. But how many of God's children go weeks or months without confessing their sin, without being right with God in the inward man? I wonder what that smells like to God. No wonder we do not have His blessing. No wonder we do not have His touch upon our life. Because our life is just like a Pharisee. We've ordered everything so well outwardly, but within, full of dead men's bones. Brethren, today, God wants to help you and He wants to help me. You know, sin silences our heart, does it not? Now, I want you to think about David. David was the sweet psalmist of Israel who used to sit outside and look at the stars while he's watching over the sheep. And David would play his harp and he would write those psalms. Can I tell you what was happening? The inward man was in fellowship with God and David was hearing the voice of the Lord. That's why David said, cause me to hear once again. Lord, the bones, You've broken my bones. I can't hear anymore and I'm out of fellowship with You. The inward man is not right. Can I ask you something? Is there truth in the inward part? Today, we need to come and say, God, I'm not right in the inward man. Help me. Some of us that have not sensed the conviction of the Lord in a long time, we ought to come to this altar and say, God, convict me once again. I need it. Truth in the inward parts. Let's pray together.